your Bible, please. Ruth chapter number 2. I want to go in right there on that little phrase she just sung. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Ruth chapter number 2 tonight. And actually, Ruth chapter number 4. I'm sorry. Ruth chapter number 4 and verse number 13 tonight. You know I've been several nights in the book of Ruth throughout this week. And I want to do a little bit. Thank you, Sister Sparks. I want to do a little bit tonight. What I believe the Lord put on my heart today. And I want to help you through the Word of God. Boy, I appreciate the good spirit this week. Thank God for the move of God. Those who have been saved, I appreciate that. Thank God for it. If you're studying the book of Ruth, as we've done this week, and we've went through there, we started out, and Ruth had communion with Boaz. And I preached one night on how we've got to have communion with Jesus. We've got to get close to Him. And then last night, I talked about Ruth being in the field and how she gleaned in the field and how Boaz dropped some handfuls on purpose and how God met her needs. Well, I want you to go over chapter 4 tonight and verse number 13. Chapter 4 and verse number 13, and then stand with me as we read the Word of God tonight. You know, I'll try not to preach long if you'll just stay with me, but I do want to give you tonight what God's got for us. Ruth chapter 4 and verse number 13. The Bible says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which have not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, their neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. I want tonight, by the help of the Lord, conclude a little bit of the book of Ruth. I started out, as I said, talking about communion with God. Then last night, we said she was hoping for a little, and she got a lot. But tonight, I want to conclude with this thought. They lived happily ever after. They lived happily ever after. Let's bow together and pray. Father, thank you tonight for the precious Word of God. I ask you to help me tonight to preach. Give me the power that I need. I pray, God, for the touch of God tonight. I pray, God, you'll help me, Lord, as I bring forth the Word of God, that, Lord, it'll be a blessing tonight and a joy and an encouragement. Father, again tonight, we love you and praise you for all that you've done and all God's people said tonight. Amen. You can be seated. Now, of everything we've talked about tonight, and even talked about the Christian life, and even talked about communion with Jesus, and even talked about God giving us benefits daily, and God loading us daily, and God blessing us daily, there's one thing tonight that has not happened. There's one thing tonight that has not taken place in the book of Ruth, and that is Ruth is still there, and she's still there waiting on what Boaz is going to do. I want to deal with three things tonight, and some things today in study that God has shown me. And I hope tonight will be a blessing to you. Take your Bible, go back over to chapter 3 of the book of Ruth and verse number 13. Chapter 3 and verse number 13. The Bible says in this chapter, and this is what that kinsman is saying, Boaz is saying to Ruth. Verse 13, he says this. He says, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning. I want you to notice that phrase. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning. You say, Brother Hazel, what's going on here in chapter 3? And what's this talking about? This is talking about a period in Ruth's life where she is waiting on Boaz. In other words, here's a time in her life when she's waiting. Now, something's real interesting. In verse number 13, it talks about she's waiting
morning till the morning. Boaz says, if you can just make it through the night, I'm telling you, it'll be better in the morning. Amen? Now, if you know much about this story and typology in the Bible, you know that Boaz would be a picture of Christ and that Ruth would be a picture of the church. And now here's a great picture of Ruth waiting on Boaz. Boaz said, Ruth, if you'll just tarry here and you'll wait a little while, I promise you that it'll get better in the morning. Now, I want to give you something tonight. I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Boy, every now and then we have a good breath of God come through. Now, I'm telling you, it's not like that all the time. But every now and then, boy, God will show up and God will drop the plow and God will move in old time power. And boy, you get up under the tabernacle like you did last night and you shout and you praise God and you enjoy the blessings of God. And then you go home and you get in your car and you go back home. You get up this morning and you go to work. And when you go to work this morning, things will go wrong. You'll fight the devil. I mean, things will happen. The devil will turn the heat up. Can I tell you something? He don't want you happy in the field. He don't want your bucket full. He don't want you enjoying the blessings. He wants you struggling. He wants to stay on your back. But I want to say something. You listen to me. Every time the devil gets on your back, every time the devil tries to remind you of your past, you remind him of his future, and you remind him that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and you remind the devil of that tonight. But I want you to notice something now. I realize that Ruth has been here a while, and she's been gleaning in the field, and she's had communion with Boaz. But Ruth now's bound to be thinking, man, I wonder if he's going to marry me. I wonder if he loves me enough that he'll do that. And so Boaz goes by, and Boaz says, I want you to wait on me. Just wait on me through the night. Boy, I think about a song like this, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen? Hey, can I tell you something, friend? I'm glad it gets better farther on, aren't you? I'm glad this world is not my home. I'm glad I'm just a passing through. I'm glad my treasure's laid up somewhere there beyond the blue. Friend, listen, you know what we're in? We're in a waiting mode tonight, amen? We're just waiting on the soon return of our heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to come in the clouds of glory. When I think about this story, I think about little Rebecca. She's on that camel. And I preached on this, and many of you men of God have. And I think about Rebecca as she's on that camel, and she's traveling across that desert. And the wind's blowing, and the sand's hitting her in the face. And it seems like the journey's been long, but I'm sure as Rebecca bows her head and stays on that camel of grace and heads across that desert, I'm sure she's just thinking, boy, I'll be glad when I finally get there. I'll be glad when I finally get to this man that I've heard about. Well, guess what tonight, friend? You and I are awaiting on the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the world feels sorry for us. They think we're missing out. They think we're not enjoying a thing. But honey, I promise you, there's coming a trumpet day when the trump of God's going to sound, and all of those that are waiting are going to leave this world and be caught up with the Lord. And friend, we're going to be out of here. I'll tell you what, now, I love being saved. I thank God for my salvation. But I want to tell you something. I don't want to stay here. Matter of fact, the older I get and my body gets a little slower and my voice may not be quite as good and I might not be able to go like I used to go, boy, the more I get to thinking how it's going to be one day when, hallelujah, the wait's over and the Son of God. You know what I believe too tonight? I believe we could be the generation that could see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we might be waiting tonight, but I promise you it's not going to be long. One golden daybreak, the trumpet of God's going to sound, and the Lord himself, he's not going to send Michael, he's not going to send Gabriel, he's not going to send, hallelujah, he's not going to send somebody else, but I'm glad the Lord himself is going to step out from heaven, and with the voice of God, hallelujah, we're going to go up and be with the Lord in the air. I want you to know tonight, friend, we're in a waiting period, amen. That's right. Just waiting on Jesus. Amen. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up there beyond the blue. Amen. I'm glad, thank God. Listen, you know why Abraham never drove stakes too deep? Abraham always lived in a tent, always drove those stakes down in the ground, but he never drove them too deep. You know why? Because the Bible says Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Friend, I'm in a waiting period tonight, waiting on the Lord. Amen. I'm looking forward to his return. Not only you see in chapter 3, in these verses, that Ruth is waiting. I want you to see, secondly, Ruth's wedding. Ruth's wedding. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 13. The Bible says, so Boaz took Ruth. You know what? I've read that a lot of times. And I understand consummating marriage. And I understand the phraseology of Boaz took Ruth. Until today, I studied the word took. Found out it means something really interesting. It means, and it's a good country boy term, it means to fetch or snatch out. Now you get that on the way home and go, whoop, amen. I'm telling you what it means is that Ruth taken by Boaz simply means that Boaz snatched her out or fetched her. She became the bride of Boaz. You know, a bunch of country folk can say this. You know, we're glad God's going to fetch us. You remember back years ago, you used to have the well and had the bucket. They'd say, go fetch me some water. Amen. I'm feeling something right here just to say this. It might not help you, but it's going to help my soul. You know what? God's going to look over Jesus one day and say, go fetch him. Amen. That's exactly right. Hey, I believe every day, old Gabriel, whoever he is up there, has got that trumpet. I believe every day he's licking his lips and he's looking over at God the Father. And he's saying, today, and God the Father say, oh no, not today. And there'll be another day. Oh, is it going to be today? Not today. And then maybe one teenage young boy like this will walk down an aisle and get down on his knees and get saved by the grace of God. And when he gets saved by the grace of God, God will look over at that trumpet player and say, blower boys, that's the last one. It's time to go home. And then we're headed to a wedding. Now I'm going to have to be honest as a Baptist preacher. I'm not crazy about weddings. I've got to do one tomorrow. They put all that money in it, decorate all that stuff. One time I was doing a wedding, and I looked over at the groom, and I said, would you have this man to be your wife? And so, that's hard, man. I struggle with them things. I'll never forget. Can I share this with you? I'll never forget when Sister Wendy and I got married. We got married in the state of Virginia and in this Baptist church out in the country. And I'll never forget it. Back then, when we got married, used to wear them little ruffle tucks. You remember them things? Had that white shirt. And I don't know if they still wear it. I think now it's just kind of like a bow tie. Thought I was the best looking thing that God ever put on the face of this earth. Sometimes I still do. Hallelujah. But anyway, especially after looking at some of y'all. Huh? Hey, but watch this. I'll never forget, man. I had every hire in place. I had that tux on. Them shoes were so shiny you could have shaved by looking in them. I mean, I look absolutely good, buddy. I mean, nobody looked better on their wedding day than I looked that day. Sure enough, they started playing that trumpet volunteer. They started playing that. Is that the name of that thing, Mama? I did pretty good. They started playing that thing. And when they started playing that thing, me and the preacher walked out, you know, from that back room like you come out front. And everybody had their eye on me. I'm thinking, why I'm walking out there? Man, they must think I really look good. Huh? What you laughing at, boy? Then I want you to watch this. I want you to watch this now. I hadn't been out there no time, and that piano player and organ player on the other side hit a song that wasn't the song I came out on, but it was that song, Here Comes the Bride. And you know what everybody did when they hit them notes? Everybody that was looking at me, everybody that was gawking at me, everybody thought I looked good, turned the other way. And when they turned the other way, they started looking back to the back when they turned the other way. And them back doors opened. And there was a beautiful lady in a beautiful white. I'm about to have a spell. I want to go kiss her just thinking about it. A beautiful lady in a beautiful white dress. And when they opened them doors, you know what I thought? I don't matter anymore. It ain't about how good I look. I looked at a pure white bride coming through that back door. And I knew she was going to be mine. Well, honey, it ain't going to be long. And the trumpet of God's going to sound. And all of heaven's going to turn their head as the bride, the Lamb's wife, the bride's coming home. And we're going to have a wedding. I don't ever want to wear no dress, but I'm glad I'm part of the bride. Amen. The Bible says Boaz took her. She became his wife. It wasn't no more Boaz and Ruth. Now it was them. Huh? Hallelujah. Otherwise, I'm going to feel a little better. Otherwise, when you saw Boaz, you saw Ruth. Huh? That's right. Guess what? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When God sees Jesus, hallelujah, he doesn't see us as we were, but he sees us the way he's made us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, every wedding in Jewish history always had what they called a wedding supper. And they always had the banquet. Ours is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Guess who's going to serve us at the table? The Lord himself. Son, I never thought anything would beat Bojangles chicken and french fries. Huh? But I believe when the Lord and sweet tea, glory to God. But I believe, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all ain't shouted all week, but I mean it's a sweet tea. You're about to lose it. Amen. I mean, listen, I'm talking about the Lord himself is going to serve us. And the Bible said he'll wipe away all our tears. Amen. He'll wipe away all our tears. I'm looking forward to the wedding one day when Jesus wipes away all our tears, aren't you? Now, I will tell you how I know that I'll be there at the wedding and that he'll be there. Go back in your Bible to the resurrection. In the resurrection, when they came running into the tomb, they found something. They found the grave clothes. They found it was empty. Isn't that right? Go to Buddha's grave, that won't be the case. Muhammad's, that won't be the case. Joseph Smith, that won't be the case. Somebody asked me, said, you ever been to Israel, saw that the tomb's empty? I said, I don't have to go to Israel to see that the tomb's empty. Amen. But now watch this. But after all the grave clothes were laid inside of the tomb, there was a napkin at the head in the tomb. Now, that ain't that unusual because the head was wrapped with a napkin. But it was folded a certain way. Now, you'll find out back in the banquet time of the Old Testament, when someone would come to a home and they would eat a meal, and that was a very meaningful thing, they'd come in and they'd eat a meal. And they got done with the meal, if they weren't quite finished, but they had to be excused. They had a certain way they'd fold their napkin. And they'd lay the napkin on the plate in a certain way. And the person that had them as a guest would see their napkin folded a certain way and wouldn't clean their place, because what that meant was, is I'm not finished yet, I'll be back. So that means that when the Lord got up out of that grave, he took perfect time to fold that napkin and to lay it up there at the end. And that said to John, and that said to Mary, and that said to everybody else, honey, it ain't over yet, and I'm on my way back, and I'm coming back for you. Just hush a minute, listen to what I'm getting ready to say. I'm going to heaven.
Well, God bless you. I'm glad you are too, buddy. I said, I'm going to heaven. Hey, matter of fact, John in the book of Revelation already saw me there. That's right. See, the book of Revelation is about the things which were, the things which are, and the things which shall be. So when John saw shall be, he saw me. Amen. You know why? Because he saw the bride. Guess what? I'm already there. No, you're not. Wait a minute. I got Bible. I'm seated in heavenly places with who? Christ Jesus. See, y'all think I'm here. I'm not here. I'm gone, man. Ha ha. Ha ha. Well, glory. Hey, you know what that means? That means if you're saved by the grace of God, there might be a little trouble at the workplace. There might be a little trouble at the schoolhouse. There might be a little trouble in the job with the in-laws and the outlaws. There might be a little trouble somewhere with sickness. But, honey, if you're saved by the grace of God, open up the back of the book. You'll find yourself sitting around the table at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and everything will be all right. First of all, Ruth is waiting. That's what we're doing. Second of all, we've gone to Ruth's wedding. But something else happens. David's daddy, Obed. Look at him now. Go back over here and look. Make sure I pronounce that name right. Sometimes I get confused. I'm a dumb country boy. Make sure I get it right. Look over here now, chapter 4, verse 13. Go down there. Yeah, I'm right. Verse 17. Verse 16, you know now, Ruth, watch this. And Naomi took the child, laid in her bosom, became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it the name, saying, there's a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. Now watch this. Well, what's the big deal about Obed? Well, it's what the name means. You know what the name Obed means? Worshiper. We're going to name that boy Obed because we're going to worship God every time we think about sweet communion, every time we think about buckets full, every time we think about the goodness of God, we're going to look up that boy and we're going to worship God. Amen. So in this you see Ruth waiting. You see Ruth's wedding. And now you see Ruth's worship. Got a question for you. What you going to do when you get to heaven? You ever thought about it? Well, I ain't gave it much thought, preacher. I tell you, they don't have no video games. They ain't got no Sega Genesis. I ain't got no Walmart. Ain't got no, I don't know what in the world. I can't go to the beach. I don't know what I'm going to do. I preached a message one time, do you really want to go to heaven? It was so mean. I ain't preached it since. Some folks ain't going to like the clothes in heaven because they're long and flowing. Some folks ain't gonna like the music in heaven because Shania Twain ain't there. Unless you say, hey, what I'm saying is, a lot of folks may not want to go. I don't know. But honey, I'll tell you what, I'm enjoying my life. I want to see my little girl grow up. But if I go to heaven, don't feel sorry for me. You know, I preach a lot of different type people. I go in some churches and I preach, and so help me, if somebody sneezes, I praise God for it. I've even thought about a few churches I preached in to carry some pepper and just throw it and hope some people sneezed. Then I get in some, shout so much, I might as well be quiet. You can't hear nothing anyway. But I always have these people come up to me. I guess it's just me. I always have it to happen. When I preach on worship and loving God and shouting and enjoying the preacher, somebody come up to me, here's what they say. Here's exactly what they say, son. Well, Brother Hayslip, now I love the Lord. I love God. That's great. And they'll say, but now, I'm just not emotional. And I just don't get excited about the things that you do. Now watch. I've always thought, and all you folks have heard me tell this, I would love to be in the corner of glory when some folk get there. Y'all have heard, you know what I'm talking about, brother. I mean this. This is something God. See, my mind's kind of warped. My mama dropped me on my head when I was a boy. I ain't never been right since. And I just think stuff like this. I'd like to be, can I sit right beside you a minute? I'd like to be hiding over in the corner. when some of them come in, you know that, well, I'm not emotional. And I'd like them to come in, and as a mama and dad with cancer, they ain't seen 40 years, 30 years. I like to see them come in, they'll say, well, there's mama. Boy, it's so good to see mama again. Hey, mama. Y'all crazy, man. I like to see some of them come in, you know, and there's old daddy that died like my daddy did, suffered and died there with emphysema. And see him look over there and say, well, there's daddy. Well, I remember last time I seen daddy, had old cancer, body all tore up. Look at him now, he's shouting and jumping around. Isn't that a blessing? And then they look up there and there's Jesus. I mean, the Lord of glory. I mean, buddy, the angels are saying, holy, holy, holy. And you can see the glow as he lights up Heaven's Avenue and he stands there. And I can see him say, well, you know, there's the Lord. Hey, Jesus, it's good to see you. No, sir, no, sir, no, sir. Huh? I'm going to be over there in my little corner. Don't know if I'll be sitting by you or not, but I'll be somewhere. I'll be over there in my little corner, and they'll come in, and I can see them when they see Mama, and they'll say, oh, there's Mama, woo! And there's Daddy, woo! And there's Jesus, woo! About that time, I'm going to come running out of the corner and say, I told you, I told you, I told you, I told you. Amen! Huh? It'd be like this. Oh, when the saints come marching in. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, friend. I'm glad it gets better further on. You say, well, you're just emotional. You're right. I agree. But don't you get on me, you two-bit hypocrite. Amen. You don't get emotional in church, but boy, you let something else, you like, pull that old bass in. Hey, honey, I done caught one so big, I be the pitcher weighs 4 pounds. That's right. You let something go with thyroid trouble, go walking through the woods, 4 o'clock in the morning, you shoot Bambi and drop Bambi, get your little Bubba machine four-wheeler, come dragging that deer out going, boy, I got me one, boy, I got me one, boy, I got me one. Then you want to come in here, and I shout about the King of Glory and the fact that I'm not going to hell. Friend, I say, hallelujah, he's worthy. Now don't misunderstand me. It's all right to get happy about Bambi. It's all right to get happy about that big old fish. It's all right to get happy about things like that. But under God, don't come in here and criticize us because we get happy about Jesus. That's why they named that boy Obed, because he's worth it. You imagine old Ruth walking around. She was a gleaner in the field. Now she's a wife at the table. Father, I thank you tonight for the gleanings in the book of Ruth. Thank you for the privilege tonight of being able, God, to preach through this book this week for the sweet presence of God. Father, I just want to be an encouragement to the people of God tonight. Let them realize, Father, that we do have hope beyond this life. I'm glad it gets better farther on. And I'm glad, God, we can say in the caption, he lived happily ever after. Now, Lord, there may be some folk here tonight discouraged, some folks here going through battles. God, there may be people here tonight fighting things in their homes, on their jobs, financially. God, whatever it might be. But Lord, I'm very, very, very thankful tonight that, God, they can come to an altar tonight and say, Lord, I need some joy. I need some encouragement. Lord, even your psalmist David cried one day and said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Help us to realize, God, it gets better farther on. The devil can take a lot of things, but he can never take our salvation, never take our home, never take our name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, I praise you for this week. God, it's been a good week for those that have been saved, those that have been helped, for the good attendance every night in the camp meeting, for the young people that were even stirred in Tennessee that are staying stirred now, for the churches that are experiencing revival. Oh, God, I pray next week for Brother Smith. I pray next week for Brother Hobbs. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, give them what they need. Give this camp meeting a good old taste of old-fashioned glory. Lord, I pray as I preach next week at Blues Creek, you'll bless us in the meeting there. And God, give us souls for the labor. Lord, bless Calvary this Sunday as I walk in my pulpit. Bless these men of God that are here tonight. But Lord, most of all tonight, Lord, I pray that we realize, God, that you've been good to us. Realize it gets better farther on and we have a home in heaven. Again, Lord, thank you so much tonight. So much for Obed. So much tonight, God, for our kinsman redeemer. So much tonight, God, for stopping by one day and dropping us some handfuls on purpose. Lord, we're thankful for that. Now, Lord, I really feel in my heart tonight, God, there may be some children of God just need to weep their way down to an altar and come get some encouragement tonight and some help tonight. Lord, I know in this building, this number, God, there's got to be some folk fighting the devil. God, I thought about even as Miss Darlene gave her testimony and had no idea tonight, Lord. A lady came up to me last night. Oh, God, she needed to hear that God's able. Needed to hear that God could put her home back together. And God, I pray tonight you'd help that one that needs that help. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Let's have a piano player to come up, please. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. I'm not going to keep you long, but I guarantee you in this camp, this is Friday night. We're getting ready to head into the weekend, Sunday in our churches, and I really believe tonight there may be some of you in here tonight say, God, I know the devil turns the heat up. I know sometimes, God, he tries to scourge me, but Lord, I'm going to press on. I'm going to go on. I've read the back of the book. Lord, I'm looking forward to the supper. I'm looking forward to the wedding. I'm looking forward to getting home one day. I'm telling you, friend, there's no place you can get help greater than an old-fashioned altar. Sister Sparks is playing on the piano and they're playing the organ. If you need to come tonight, slip out where you are right now. Come on down to this old-fashioned altar. Don't wait on somebody else. If you need some help yourself tonight, why don't you come on right now as others are coming.